up here on the first Sunday of the month in January, I started with that first scripture that God had gave me, and that was in Romans 12:2. And that was about being conformed to this world, that even though the world calls for a resolution on the first day of January, that we need to be conformed to God's word, be conformed to Him, and be transformed by what He wants to do in us, by the renewing of the mind. And we discovered that that renewing of the mind is rebuilding, that He wants to raise that building in you, and He wants to rebuild it alive in His word. He wants to kill the old man and raise up the new man. He wants to renovate your building, let's put it that way. But the one thing that we have to do is we have to yield to Him or surrender to Him and His word. He doesn't want to fix what's dead. Did you hear me? Our flesh is supposed to be dead. He doesn't want to fix that. He's not going to renovate it. He's not even going to deal with it. He wants to make you a new man in the image of Jesus. So the second scripture He gave me was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. God likes new things, girls. I believe that in 2016, as individuals and corporately as the body of Christ, we're going to step into new beginnings. What those new beginnings are, only you know as an individual if you have been striving or fighting in an area of your life. I believe He's going to give us victory in those lives. He's going to take us into Canaan. And it's not the iniquity of Canaan, it's going to be in the victory of Canaan. We're going to learn how to fight from the victory. So what do new beginnings look like? Well, let's take it from the practical sense. Let's take it from our lives, okay? A wedding. They call that new couple. What do they call that new couple? Newlyweds. How about the birth of a baby? That's new life, yeah. Or adopting a baby. How about that first job that you got? How exciting was that? You had your own spending money? And how about moving into the first home? I'm still there. Oh, I guess I rented for 2.5 years. Okay, that's new beginnings. That's the nice ones, right? But sometimes there's new beginnings that bring anxiety and fear. Like after a divorce. I've never been through one, but I can imagine how that tears a whole family apart. And how God has to walk you through the reconciling or the beginnings, the new beginnings. How about the death of a spouse or a family member? I've never gone through the death of a spouse. I have gone through the death of my parents. And God does a work in every one of these situations. He's working in you to create in you that image of Christ. How about a job loss? Yeah, that can destroy people if they don't have faith in God. Steve and I walked through that, where both of us lost our positions. But God was faithful. And how about for a child who has to change to a new school? I can't imagine what that would be like for them. They have no friends, no one they know. But God desires to walk us into our future. He doesn't want us to go into it alone. He wants to be right by our side. Even when things look impossible or desperate or just a big upheaval, He wants to be there with you. He desires for you to partner with Him and have faith that His way is much greater, because God's ways are higher than our ways, as the Word says, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Can you imagine the distance between here and heaven? That's how great the distance is between our thoughts and His. But we think our ways are always the better way. And that usually gets us in big trouble. So we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. What does that mean? You know, your ways aren't going to accomplish anything. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, he calls it evil. And it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And if he's got our plan in his hands, he's got thoughts of peace and thoughts of no evil, you know, we need to draw close to him and seek him, and he'll take us through the deepest waters of our life if we'll trust him. He'll be our compass. He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. He can be trusted. We don't have to be afraid. Okay, so now we want to go to some examples in the Old Testament. Let's look at Noah. Here's Noah minding his own business. You know, he was perfect in his generation. And then God decides to let him know what he's going to do. So with this knowledge, he has to build this boat. Well, what's a boat? What's it used for? What's rain? But he knew God, and he trusted God. So by God's direction, he built this boat to house his family, because that was the covenant God was making with him, that in this storm, in this destruction of the world, he was going to save him. He was the covenant people. And he did what God said, against all that they were probably saying, that he was crazy, until it started to rain. So God took him into new beginnings. And what happened? After the land dried up, he had to start over, and it was just him and his family. How frightening that must have been. But he had God. He had faith in God. How about Abraham? Abraham left his homeland because God called him out to an inheritance. Where is it? He didn't know. All he did was walk. He walked with his God into that new land, and he became a great nation. What did he have to go through? He went through a lot. We don't have time for it today. But Abraham was the father of many nations, and it started out in his very old age, and he became the father of nations. How about Jesus? Jesus is the second in the Godhead Trinity, and he gave up heaven for a new beginning as a man, to come to earth, to die, to give us salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life in all who would receive him. Jesus is our new beginning. We all came that way. So let's go into this new year anticipating new beginnings. Let's not be afraid, because no matter what it brings, we have to walk through it. But we have Jesus, we've got God. And when God is on our side, who can be against us? We have to remember that his mercies and his compassions are new every day. So every day can be a new beginning. Don't condemn yourself for what happened the day before. Just walk in that new day. God likes the new. Stop allowing your past to control you. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, the way you were, or what you did in the past. Throw it out. Tell the devil, it's gone. It's gone. Don't even consider it. Don't consider those things, because he promises to do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? You're going to know it. He's even going to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, can you imagine Joshua? I thought of this too. As he stood next to the Jordan. Yeah, wasn't the Red Sea. Moses did the Red Sea. Or God did the Red Sea through Moses. And how he must have stood there anticipating what God was going to do as he saw the rushing waters before him, the raging river. And then as they stepped forward and stepped into that water, the water split. Ooh, isn't that cool? Don't be afraid of the future. God's going to split the waters for you. So with God, all things are possible. Let's begin again in Him. Let's walk into the new. Was that 15 minutes? Praise the Lord.
1 minute left. Linda, did you and I talk at all about what we were sharing? We even talked about this last week. They said, we're not, what are you talking about? Well, let's just see what happens. Let's let the Holy Spirit lead. And that's, this is what hit me. And it goes right along with Linda, because we do want, we know that God has new things for us every day, right? Some of those new things start off new seasons. And something hit me the other day. I'm driving to work, and I see a cardinal sitting on the side of the road. How often do we see cardinals in February, January? We don't. So first I went to baseball and thought, okay, the Cardinals are spying on somebody again this year. But that, no, that was, I almost called Dad to say something. But but I sat there and I thought, man, you know, we know how winter acts around here. I was just talking to Wayne about it. You know, thank you for bringing this warm, rainy weather to back from Florida. But what happened about Tuesday? Because now Tuesday is going to be winter again. And we know from looking at nature that when seasons begin to change before the other season's ready to give up, when things get rushed, what happens? Things don't come back to life the way they're supposed to. We have, yeah, the vegetation gets all screwed up. And we've had it in the last few years where it can be the middle of August and some of the trees just don't seem to be full of life yet. Because they, all their buds started sprouting out before winter said I was done. And that gets, we can be just like that. We can be just like that. God has certain times in your life, and even before maybe you made a commitment to Christ, God still had seasons that you were in at times. He still controlled what was going on. It's just whether or not you accepted what He had done for you. And as He takes you through these seasons, we can be very, you know, when we get into those hard seasons, and some of us might be in pretty hard seasons right now, and sometimes we can just sit there and say, God, when? Uncle, you know? But you know what's nice to know? Like Linda just shared, everything, God has it in His hands. When He was leading people out of Egypt, He already had the finish line ahead of them. It wasn't God's fault they didn't make it to the finish line within the, I don't know what it is, was it a couple months journey probably by foot with that many people to get from Egypt to the Promised Land, but something happened that caused it to go 40 years longer. And it was not because God was holding them back because He just wanted to hold them back. And sometimes that's what happens. We get to looking at our situation and we just think, God, when can't we just get to that other, the other side? Can't we just go past? Can't we just, you know, God, I believe the next season's going to be a whole lot better. Can't we just do that? Well, guess what? When I look through the Bible and I see what happened to people who went through those seasons that God gave them, and then they come out into the next season, you know what they have? They have experience. They have testimony. Is God building a different testimony for you right now in the season that you're in? Is He adding building blocks to how you're going to share? You know, we went through it with Tommy Zito. We went through it with some other people where we build up our testimony. And so many people sometimes as Christians, we get stuck in the same rut of testimony. I was a sinner. I found God. I found Jesus. I accepted Him. This is what He did in the first X number of months, and here I am. Well, I don't know about you, but that's not how it worked for me. Because there hasn't been a void since not only the time when I was like 11, 12 years old when I accepted Jesus. There hasn't been a void there. There hasn't been a void since 2002 when I really gave God my, okay, Lord, whatever you have in store for me. That hasn't been a void. There have been different seasons, different times, different experiences that as I go through my life, I need to be ready to share those with people. God has placed each one of you here in this church for a reason, because guess what? People who come in that are hurt, maybe they've been offended by the church, they need to know that, hey, I went through that. Guess what? God brought me through that. God brought me out of that. We are all in seasons for a reason. Think of the natural. Why do the trees have to drop their leaves? What happens to a tree that doesn't drop its leaves? Eventually it's going to die. It can't live forever in that state. It has to go through the changes. Why do the fish have to go and swim away from the colder water to come back up? Think of the salmon spawning. That's how they create new life. That's how they create new life. Is God's creating new life around here. We've talked about it as leadership. We've talked about it just with in discussions between pastor and myself. Just, you know, what do you feel? And if you listen to other leaders that are going through the same thing that we go through as a church, that go through the same thing that you go through as a Christian, okay? They hear the same politics, they hear the same news, they have the same doctor reports, they have the same financial reports, they hear all this stuff going on, the same as we do, and they're excited because that means something's about to happen. I encourage you this morning, God has something going on in your life right now that when you come out on the other side, something's going to become even more relevant to what you are supposed to do. How are you going to carry on from here into the next season that God brings you in? And what you're going through now going to create because of the new season that's going to happen because you came through this and you didn't jump a hurdle, you didn't build a bridge, you just went right through and said, God, I'm here until you take me to the next one. Something is building up inside of each one of us, and I don't know what it is in me, but I feel it. And I know that there's going to be some tough times between where I'm at now and when I start that new season, because I know that with every time that a new season starts to happen, there has to be some sort of give on my part for God to be able to unleash that and open up that next door to start growing new things. But I, you know what? When you start to look at it that way, I'm pretty excited to go through some troubles to get to the next side, to get over to the new season. And I don't, Lord, I'll stand here and publicly declare it. I probably will screw up. I will probably get anxious. I will probably not want to pursue as eagerly as I do maybe right now because I'm not in the middle of all that turmoil maybe. Maybe I'm just beginning another season and I know that there's another one coming up. But I know that God has something greater for me. If we want to look at it at the year, I know God has something greater for me come December 31st, 2016 than he had for me on December 31st, 2015, because he's an always growing God. Always growing God. And we can see that in the Bible. We can see that in the lives of those around us. Think of the people that are sitting right next to you and how they have changed because of their relationship. And if you're not where you want to be at with God right now, guess what? That's for you and God to take care of. And we can help you take care of that today. We can help you by praying for you. Maybe you're in just a struggle and you're saying, I doubt God maybe a little bit. I know I shouldn't, but guess what? Come and talk to somebody. Come and talk to one of the leaders. Talk to the pastor. Talk to another person that you can trust and just say, I'm having struggles because guess what? We've been there. How many of us have had struggles? Raise your hands. How many of us has doubted God at some point in our walk? How many of us have always known God has something better for us, but not always proclaim that on the outside, on the inside? It's unfortunately easy to do because it's flesh. But God always, always, always is there for us to say, God, I'm sorry, here. Here's my hand. His hand is already out. Here's my hand, and he will guide you in out of that season into the next. And I don't know when your season's going to change. I don't know when my season's going to change, but I can guarantee you this. Your season will change. God will take you from here to there. We're learning about it in Sunday school. We've heard about it in other teachings that we've had. God doesn't want us, Mark Braden Camp, God sees you somewhere in the future and you look much better than you look right now. He sees you. You may not see you. You may see you in the future and you look a lot worse. You look more defeated. You look just beat up. But God sees you in the future and you look much better than you look right now. I encourage you. Who's ready to go into, to continue going on? The new season that Linda just talked about, the season that we're in. Who's ready to learn from the season that we're in? You know what? You might have to write it down to say, Lord, I need to just know because I can't see it from your view right now. I just need to write it down. And that way when I feel like I'm in that next season, I can look back and say, God, holy cow, you were there. You were there. You took me from here to there, and this is how you did it. And let me share that with somebody else. Let me be that encouragement. That's what we're supposed to be. Amen? Thank you very much. I do have one other announcement. I told Linda it was going to be in the bulletin. Then I found out it was not in the bulletin. But we do have a men's ministry, a men's conference coming up next Saturday. It's the No Regrets Conference. It's a simulcast from Elmbrook in the Milwaukee area. To faith community in Janesville. They're going to have, last time I counted, probably over 2,000 simulcasts going on worldwide out of this one-day event. So that means that in 2,000 locations, men will be joining together, hearing the same message, hearing the same heart, and hopefully banding together with the same motive to get something done. So that's what we have a couple of tickets available. We have tickets available still. It's $25 before Saturday, otherwise $30 at the door. That includes lunch. Goes from 8 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. There'll be some breakout sessions. It's going to be an awesome time. Tracy and I made the trip last year, and it definitely is nice to get with guys around your community and just be able to hear what God is sharing out of national, world-renowned speakers and be able to hear it all without having to go and fight crowds, fight traffic in Milwaukee. And then when you hear something, you feel the people around you, they're in the same community. They're in your same, maybe your same job. They're in your same schools, and they hear that. So I encourage if any men want to go, like I said, there's still room to go. Just let us know. We are going to meet at 6:45 at the Denny's in Janesville for breakfast, if anybody wants to come and eat beforehand. Otherwise, we'll meet at the church at about 7:45. And if you have anybody that would be interested, but maybe they're maybe financially not able to go, or maybe they need transportation to get there, let me know, and we'll make sure we get everybody that we can to that meeting. Amen. Tracy.
Well, Linda talked about new beginnings. TJ talked about seasons and times. And what do you get when you all add all that up? TJ talked about it. Testimonies. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So, kind of weird. No, not weird. God is good. And I focused on the story of Lazarus, you know, when Jesus rose him from the dead. Set this up a little bit. Jesus' ministry is taking off, and a lot of believers, but then a lot of people want to stone him too for what he was doing. And even his disciples didn't believe or understand the power that he did have. John 11:12, it says, you know, Jesus says our friend Lazarus is asleep, and the disciples said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. But that's not what he meant. And even in 14, it says, Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. And some versions say you'll have a new reason to believe or a new understanding. And then Thomas, which I think is Doubting Thomas, he said, well, let us go and die with him. So I want to go down to 11:45 in this. And the caption here is a plot to kill Jesus. And this is after he raised Lazarus, after he called him out of the tomb for 3 days. He was dead for 3 days. And he called Lazarus out, and then he says, go unwrap him and let him go. So now, people want to kill him for raising Lazarus. The Pharisees here, in 47, they said, what are we going to do? This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to keep doing this, everyone's going to believe in him. Like they were allowing him to do what he was doing, and we all know better. The Romans will come and take both our temple and our nation away from us. You know, on one level, you're like, why didn't they believe? And I know some of them did believe, you know, after a while with Nicodemus and all the rest. But it's just like, what's in your understanding you can't believe that somebody's raised from the dead and you can't believe what he was doing, that he was sent from God? And how do you think you can destroy his ministry, people doing stuff like that? They were not looking at what Jesus was offering and what they might gain. Instead, they were counting their losses. They were saying, okay, these things are going to be removed from us, and we are going to lose our power. And then, and this is what I want to get to for testimonies. In John 12:9, so that was just setting this all up. And this is after Mary anointed his feet, and then it comes to 9. Then all the people heard of Jesus' arrival. They flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man that he raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, because many people were deserting him and following Jesus. That's amazing to me, that because of Lazarus' testimony, many people were leaving the Pharisees and following Jesus. It's also amazing to me that they wanted to kill him, because Jesus already raised him once from the dead. I mean, he could do it again if he wanted to. So who here has a testimony? That everybody? If you woke up today with eternity in Jesus, you have a testimony. God has done something for you. He has opened your eyes. And your testimony is very, very important to the kingdom of God. It is very important. Your testimony is a connection to Jesus and his gospel. It makes it real and attainable to the people in the world, which you can share. Because the Bible says the cross is foolishness to the people. But if we can make that connection from heaven to earth in our testimony, it would make it real and obtainable. I want to use my testimony to the glory of God, not because I went through troubled times, but because I went through troubled times and God brought me out of it. I can reach people with my testimony. Everybody else in here reaches people with their testimony. Al here, he reaches people with his testimony. I don't go through what he went through. I can't relate to what he's going through. And I believe God will send people along his path to that he ministers because of the things that he went through. He's got family that I don't have. Randy has a testimony. A good one, a powerful one, just last week. He works where I don't work. He has family I don't have. That his testimony goes out. and different experiences. Those are all geographical or location stuff, but Al goes through things. I've been through things, struggles, big-time struggles in my life that I've had to overcome and conquer that Al wouldn't be able to relate with, or Randy. Randy's been through things in life, hard times, struggles, and that he can counsel and give his testimony to people that need it. So just like the Pharisees, people cannot deny your testimony. It's yours. My brother Chris told me that. They can't take it away from you. And if you can get that out to people that need it, and not to say that we're perfect people, you know, and not to say that everything's fine and great and, you know, we don't go through struggles. I think that it doesn't relate to people. You know, we have been through things, and we need to tell people that. But we also need to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, that he sets us free from all that. So in John 11:14, let's give a people the new reason to believe. Let's make that connection between us and the Gospels that they can know that it's real and that they can obtain it. And I want to thank you.
Wow. I got to do a half an hour. Those guys were all short. I don't know if I can stand it that long. Get excited. Wednesday at 2:30, the cold bug bit me. So I got a sore throat. You know, I thought I was getting so good. I went 2 years before I had a cold. I thought I had it all put together. I had everything figured out, what I have to do to stay healthy. I got zapped. Well, anyway, God is good, right? All the time. So what do we talk about? We've talked about everything that Jesus has part of. That's you and me. And without him, we're nothing. Period. End of story. We could end right there. But there's more. There's much more. The more is, how much are you going to give to Jesus? Well, we're here today, Sunday, because we set aside Sunday as a day to glorify him, right? Or did you just come because it's the thing to do? Why did you come? Why are you in church today? Are we in church because somebody asked us? Are we here because one of our relatives are here? Are we here because we like Pastor? Well, I like Pastor. He's a good kid. He's full of it. He has a good sense of humor. He didn't know it. Now we know what he knows, huh? But anyway, getting back to what we are here for is the most important thing that we can make a decision in our life for. And that is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's the fourth commandment. Keep it holy. How do we keep it holy? Because we're good? Because we listened to him? Because we didn't go kill anybody or we didn't go rob anybody? No. Holy is worship. Worship to him. Without that, you can't. You can't please God. He needs to be praised for what he has done for us. Oh, man. When he called me to be his child, I got so excited. I thought, wow, Lord, why did you pick me? And then I had to ask him, it was only because of Jesus. That's why he picked me. He died for everybody in this room this morning. So you have the opportunity to be born again, spirit-filled, and led by Jesus Christ into eternity. Think about something else for a minute, though. What is eternity? Can you comprehend eternity? Any of us, can we comprehend eternity? It's impossible. It's something we have no experience with. All we have is experience of what we are today. I think Lou might be the oldest one here. I'm not sure. Okay, Lou is not the oldest one here. You don't want nobody to know how old he is. But the point is, he's had a lot of years walking with Jesus. He's in the circle of life, as we call it. Start up here at 12 o'clock, and you come around the bottom, you're 6 o'clock, that's halfway. And then as you're coming back up the other side of the bell, we're getting older. Things happen to us. We change. We don't bounce back as fast when we get sick. There's so many different things that happens with our age. But the point is, Jesus says now, eternity. There is no more circle of life with eternity. Think about that. There's no more sickness. There's no poverty. Oh my goodness, people. Shouldn't we be getting a little bit excited, just a little bit more than what we are right now? I don't want anybody sleeping in this message because it's too important. Keep your spirit alive on why we're here. Why are we here? We're here so something can change our life, so we can now accept the eternity call with Jesus. You know, we've had one day out of the week set aside for Christ. And some of us don't even make that all the time. Something comes up or whatever. One day. How many weeks are there in a year? 52, right? Good. Golly, just think what 52 days will do in eternity. I'm trying to get you to compare what we're in for with Jesus. It isn't everyday life. It is, yes, we try to do our best. We try to accomplish all the things that we have before us. We may get sick. We may get not sick. We may be healthy. We may be financially fit. We may be short of dollars. All those things happen to us as life. But eternity, there won't be any of that. I don't know if I can get that excitement into you so I can see it in your eyes. So far, I haven't had any home runs here. Nobody is getting excited about it. You know, if you can't spend one day out of the week with Jesus Christ today, you will never spend eternity with him. Won't be able to stand it. It's impossible. Let's focus on what eternity is. It's forever. A friend of mine once said, if you know what eternity is? If you had a bird that went to the ocean side and picked up a grain of sand and flew it over to the other side of the world and dropped it, and it did it until it was done, that's just the beginning. You see, he had a task, it had a beginning, it has an end. Eternity does have no end. Are we ready? Can we get ready? Holy cats. Let me tell you a story that happened pretty... This happened at the beginning. Ed Brandkamp, I don't know if anybody remembers who Ed was. Lou probably would, but there's a few that do. This was an eternity story, if ever was one. Anyway, Pastor Halbert asked him to come and preach. He got up there. I kid you not. He was still going at 2:30. 2:30. I'm just warning you, we won't be out of here at 12. Did you get that? All right. So no more stories. Oh, well. But that was true. There was only four of us left sitting in the church listening to him. He had no signs of giving up. Finally, Pastor had to go up and slow him down a little bit. It was hilarious, but it was good. I mean, the anointing came upon him, and he didn't know how to shut it off. You know, it's just like an alcoholic. Once they start drinking, they don't quit. So they get goofy, you know. Then they have no choice because they passed out. Fortunately, that happens. But anyway, as we progress in the walking with Jesus Christ, we also have to progress in our thinking with him. because of what he has done for us. You know, there's no good or bad sin, okay? Yes, there's some guys that are doing things like these mass murders and things like that. That's gruesome. But that's no worse than denying Jesus Christ, okay? So we try to put levels on different things so we can justify our reasoning. Why would you want to justify your reasoning? It's just trying to make yourself better than somebody else. That's not God's love. That's not God's love. We have to accept each other as who we are. Who we are. What we are is what we make of ourselves. The decisions we make will either take us to eternity or it's going to take and shortcut us. And bad decisions are really bad. But if you're willing to accept some of the things that Jesus offers, those decisions become much easier. Number one, have you asked him into your life? How many of you asked Jesus into your life? There's hands going up all over. That's great. And if that's the case, now, if that's the case, think about this a minute now. If you don't make another decision, you're going to be in eternity. Think of that. When you raised your hand, you said you're going to be in eternity. God's not going back on his promise. I'll guarantee it. But that doesn't mean you won't go back on yours. Until, wait a minute now, there's more to the story. Until your heart and your mind is so convinced that Jesus is the only reason for you to be here, you will go. You'll be with him. He'll put his arms around you. He'll guide you. He'll protect you if you only submit to him. What's submission? When I got married, I said, yes, dear. Yes, dear. I'll do that. Yes, dear. We get submitted some way in our little ways, don't we? We try to help each other. When we become married, we support each other. So our marriage with Jesus is the same thing. Yes, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll serve you, Lord. I'll honor you, Lord. Can we get that in our minds? Because if it don't go there, it's not going to go in the heart. Remember now, that may sound backwards to some of us, but that's really, we're controlled here. The depth is here. The depth is the heart. So your commitment is better not be always here. It's got to go to here. So when you ask Jesus into your heart, right, Al? When Jesus is in your heart, man, that's the best spot. It had to get knowledge in order to accept that. We had to hear about it, which was the knowledge. The acceptance is the heart. So to give up on that means that you need to surrender. Surrender all, it says. All to Jesus. I surrender all. Isn't that true? It's the little things, people. It's the little things that you put into your mind and heart that will get you through the society of life that we call it, the daily life of walking with him, giving unto him, constantly thinking about him. I don't care where you work. It doesn't matter. I don't know of a place in this world that says you can't think about Jesus Christ when you're working. There is none. You know why? Because they don't know it. If they knew it, they'd probably try to stop you. There's places that probably try to stop you. You can't think about Jesus. Nobody knows it but you and him. Isn't that so personal? You know, I can't talk to Tracy all the time, but sometimes we communicate. But with Jesus, it's all that time. I don't have to get on one of these cell phone things and dial him up or send a message by, you know, dialing little stupid numbers. You know, we can talk. That's the better way. Because I can hear his expressions then. If I text you a message, can you get my expressions out of that? No. We lost a lot of the good touch of life because of those new communications that we have. Oh, my. But just think of Jesus. Think of Jesus. Let that be your thought. Let that be your communication. Christ first, everything else will go very well. I'm serious. I'm not as old as Lou, but I've walked with the Lord for a while, and he has proven to me that if I never reject his leading or guiding, he'll bless me. Isn't that powerful? Oh, can't you get shivers out of that? I did. Because it's an experience that we have. If you have no experience with Jesus, you're going to have a drabby life, man. It's going to be a bore. You're going to wonder, this guy over here, praise God, he has an attitude that surpasses almost all pastors because he loves the Lord so much. His communication with the Lord is constant. He's an example. That's why he's up here more than the rest of us, because his example, if we follow him, we can have the same thing. God's no respecter of person. He didn't say, Pastor Tim, I'm going to give you more than anybody else. No. We can have the same thing. It's all. It's free. It don't cost you nothing. Oh, by the way, I got to take the offering, so it's going to cost you something. Well, anyway. God is so good. He really is. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. When we were kids growing up, we liked to pick on people, especially guys. The girls weren't quite so bad, but they can be rascals, them girls. But we liked to pick on them and make fun of them. And I was picked on a lot because I was short. I'm not very tall now, but I was short. So I was called Squirt. Of course, I was called other things too, which wasn't good. And fortunately, I was able to overcome it because I became strong, like a muscle. I showed them who was strong or not, who was right and who was wrong. Yeah. I was a little scrapper, by gosh. And soon I got respect. Even though I was short. But see, I was a farm boy. We had to work hard. You know, we weren't flabby little fat kids. We were muscle guys. We started throwing hay around and feeding cattle and pitching that stuff they call manure. I mean, we had all that stuff we had to do. We'd get up in the morning, we'd have to do chores. We'd poor go to school. We'd have to walk to school, come back and change clothes and do chores. What a drag, wasn't it? No, it was life. It was experience. We learned what it meant to do something. It wasn't given to us. And so I thank God for the time frame that I went through, that I was able to learn some of those rights and wrongs. Mom and Dad taught us right and wrong. You know, Sunday was you had to put on your best clothes on Sunday in the old days. My goodness, if you came to blue jeans on Sunday, you were looked upon as a bad kid. We still slept, though. It didn't matter what we wore. We could still fall asleep in that Lutheran church. That dried up old place. Now, wait a minute. I didn't sleep all the time because Mom had a pen. Oh, and I had to sit by her, too, because she knew I sleep. Isn't that something? It's hilarious now, but, you know, at the time, Mom was teaching me something. You know, if you fall asleep in church, son, that's not right. So you correct yourself so you don't. But I didn't think they were doing anything. I was thinking about playing and having fun and things like that. I wasn't concerned about the Lord until he touched me. That changed everything. So it looks like we're getting close to my quit time. So I want to... Ooh, did you hear that? 2 o'clock. Oh, man. Holy cats. Well, now we're coming to the second segment of the story. God is so good, isn't he? He is the reason for us. We got to remember that. Without Jesus Christ, it'd do none of us any good to be here. It would just be a pretense of something, thinking that we're getting that we're not. So when you leave here today, I want to challenge you. When you leave here today, don't leave just with yourself. Oftentimes we do that. If you don't take him with you, you've missed the whole story. All right? The whole story. The whole life is him. It's not what we accomplish. It's not what we do, where we work. It's not that. Eternity is the most important thing. And when I think about what Jesus did when he chose me, I mean, it's an expression I can't put in words. The Father says no one comes to him except that he chooses him. So it's a choice that he has made. Then we have to make the choice to accept or reject it. But he chose me. Did he choose you? Well, then people, then let's change our attitudes, all right? Altitude determines your attitude. Remember that. If you want to be up here with Christ, you better change your attitude. I'm serious. If you're down and out and you're upset by things that are around you and everything else, you don't know who Christ is. I'm getting serious here now, because no matter what happens to us, whether you have a little froggy throat or you might be a little bit sick, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. It's Jesus Christ that matters. Only him. Only him. Because without it, you're nothing anyway. But with it, you're everything. Think of that. You're everything. You are an eternal person with Jesus Christ. Oh, man. That's got to be exciting. Yes. Cut out your smile. You think you're happy, don't you? Well, you are. Praise God. I love that. We all should have smiles like she's got. Yes, we should. I don't care what's wrong with you. You got to be smiling. Because whatever it is just a little while compared to eternity. Compared to eternity. Well, this is great that we as the leaders, the pastors chose, was able to share with you this day. And the last leadership meeting we had, can I mention this? Is that right, boss? He can't read my mind? Oh, man. I told him, I said, I think we need to change the way we do church. I did. You know, we can get set in a rut. We really can. And I said, well, maybe we should have praise and worship later and start out with message first, or, you know, just change it out, because we become complacent and habit-forming with the things that encounter us, because we haven't found the level that Jesus is at yet. Now, that may sound a little rough, but that's true, because once we get to his level, you come here for him. You don't come here to come to church. You come here because it's his day. It's the Sabbath day, the holy day for Christ. Once you get that inside your spirit, inside your heart, no matter what we do, because it's glorifying him. We're glorifying Jesus Christ on Sunday, people. It's nothing else but that. And it gives him a job. Praise God. Thank you. All right. Offering time.